Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes. Today I talked to Christine Oldfield and Kim Cusiamano. They are the Executive Director and Communications and Program Coordinator, respectively, of the Volunteer Center of Guelph Wellington. Next week is National Volunteer Week, so what better time to learn more about volunteerism in Guelph and how the Volunteer Center contributes to that culture, which, if you believe the statistics, is amongst the most active in the country. The 5 W's of volunteering in Guelph is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. In 2017, volunteering comes in many forms and is as diverse as Canada itself. Someone who shovels their neighbor's laneway or who brings a lost pet to the animal shelter is helping to build a stronger community. Sometimes we miss recognizing these people as volunteers because they do not occupy a formal role within an organization or group. That's from Volunteer Canada on their webpage about National Volunteer Week. This is the 14th annual National Volunteer Week, which this year runs from April 23rd to 29th. And for added relevance, Volunteer Canada is also using the occasion to mark Canada's 150th birthday and the timeless efforts, or at least 150 years worth of efforts, on the part of volunteers across Canada and the crucial impact they've had. Meanwhile, here in Guelph, the Volunteer Center has actually been around just a couple of years longer than the National Volunteer Week itself. During United Nations International Year of the Volunteer in 2001, local government and stakeholders deemed it necessary to develop a nonprofit designed to engage potential volunteers and coordinate with charities and other organizations that need volunteers. Today, the center works with hundreds of volunteers and dozens of organizations in the fields of healthcare, environment, criminal justice, the arts, and basic needs. Christine Oldfield and Kim Cusiamano are the public faces of the Volunteer Center, and on this podcast, they are the public voices for it too. Amongst the things we talk about for this podcast are the activities the Volunteer Center is presently working on, including a mural that's being done by local artist Meredith Blackmore. We also talk about why Guelph is so volunteer-friendly, who's currently volunteering and what kind of volunteer work they're doing, and the upcoming rebranding of the center, and what the group learned about themselves in the process. So I caught up with Christine Oldfield and Kim Cusiamano last week in studio.
My name's Kim Cusiamano. I am the Communications and Program Coordinator at the Volunteer Center of Guelph Wellington.
And I am Christine Oldfield, the Executive Director of the Volunteer Center of Guelph Wellington.
And this is a very busy time for you guys because National Volunteer Week is, it's not next week, it's... We're recording this 1 week, but it's going to be on the next week. But the Volunteer Week is the week after that.
Yes, April 23rd to the 29th.
I'm glad somebody did their research. one of the things I was interested in some of the discussions we had over email was that one of the things you pointed out was that there are trends in volunteerism. And I was that phrase made me curious because, first of all, there are trends in volunteerism, and what is a trend in volunteerism? Mm. Is it like 1 year more people are getting into, like, I don't know, like helping seniors, and next year people are more into like arts and culture volunteerism? So can you guys explain what a trend is?
Sure. So the trends that people normally speak about are related to the census and the census data.
Okay.
And a lot of it relates to the numbers of people volunteering and the number of hours contributed and also who is contributing those hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we talk about a lot is the number of people that do volunteer. And in the most recent census, it says 44% of Canadians volunteer.
Mm-hmm. So almost one out of every two people.
Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned, because it's a census, also breaks it. Have you gotten those numbers yet about, is it young, old, middle, men, women, kids?
What we find is, I mean, there are certain cohorts, let's say, that do volunteer more than others.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we find is that, so there's the rate of volunteering, but there's also, again, the number of hours contributed. So we know that seniors contribute a significant number of hours,
mm-hmm.
in addition to being a cohort that tends to volunteer perhaps more than the average.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also know that youth volunteer more than the average as well,
right.
Although they don't per se contribute the largest proportion of hours. So it depends on the age range, the demographics, and I think there's your stage in life where right. volunteering fits in, and what you're motivated by and hoping to get out of volunteering is going to change depending on who you are or what stage in your life that you're at.
They still make the high school kids get their volunteer hours? That's still a thing?
Mm-hmm. They hours. Do. It's 40 hours okay. over the course of their high school career, and they need that in order to graduate.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the seniors just generally have more free time than people who are still at their careers and plugging away. And
mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, there's the aspect of culture, too. I think there's the notion among seniors, and Kim, having worked with seniors in the past, could probably speak to this more specifically, but I think there's the motivation to want to give back mm-hmm. and to share their expertise and life experience.
Mm-hmm.
They're also motivated to connect with other people after you leave work life.
Right.
You don't per se have the same social connections that you do after you retire. So they're motivated by different things, but they certainly, in terms of the significance that they play as volunteers, is pretty significant because those number of hours that they contribute annually.
Mm-hmm. You worked with seniors in what capacity?
I have for a number of years worked with seniors both in community as well as in retirement and long-term care communities.
Okay, wow.
Yes.
And is it like Christine was saying that, you know, sharing life experience, you know, wanting that social connection, because I think those are all big factors, not just in the altruistic nature of volunteering, but also as you're getting older, the studies are showing more engagement is best to sort of keep
right.
vibrant.
Absolutely. And you want to participate in something. We all want to participate in something that is meaningful
mm-hmm.
to us. And, you know, our elders have a wealth of information and knowledge and experience to impart on all of us. And it's a wonderful way for them to engage in their communities and feel as though that they are still connected.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that we've talked about the who, let's talk about the what, which is the volunteer center where you both work. I think people recognize the name and you know, volunteer center and probably have a vague idea of what it is you do there. But, you know, perhaps Kim, as the someone who communicates on the basis of the volunteer center, when you're describing what it is the volunteer center does, how do you describe it?
Sure. So in a very simple term, it would be give help, get help.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a number of programs that we operate. One of them is information services. In addition to that volunteer scope of supporting member organizations that are benefit to the community about engaging volunteers in the great work that they do there.
Mm-hmm. I think similarly, or in the same vein, it's that notion of connecting people to meaningful opportunities. So as Kim mentioned, we have an information referral program. And so in that case, through that program, we are connecting people who are in need of services to those services through an online database and a telephone line. And then as well, if people are in that position in their life where they're looking to give back, we can connect them to an organization that can avail of their skill and talent and interest.
Mm-hmm.
So we're connecting people. We sort of think of ourselves as being matchmakers.
And it's interesting, I've recently joined the Volunteer Center in the late fall, early winter of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I shared with folks where I was going to work, and I was quite excited to do so, there was an interesting, almost a 50-50% of people that knew exactly what I was talking about. And
mm-hmm.
there was also that 50% of people that really didn't know, you know,
mm-hmm.
what does that mean? Is it a center that you have, you know, an army of volunteers ready to impart great work in the community?
Freeze dried in the back room.
That's
where we
right.
just add water and dispatch them to
magic,
locations.
Right? So part of that, you know, has also ties into the work that's has been done towards assessing, researching sort of our key stakeholders about who are we and is the Volunteer Center of Guelph Wellington the right name for it.
Mm.
And so there's been some great work that's been done by a local company, the Letter M Marketing,
mm-hmm.
And we're about to unveil a brand new brand at the end of the month.
Okay. I was going to ask about that about rebranding, but you do raise a good point. And,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of this in town where, and probably all towns, where you think something is, you know, fairly straightforward, the Volunteer Center of Guelph Wellington. But people still don't know about it, or not that they don't know about it, but it's still like a sort of a box that they don't know what's in it.
That's right, like a mm-hmm. physical space mm-hmm. where yeah. we house people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the notion of also, okay, so Kim, are you going to get paid?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? So you're coming there to volunteer. And I said, well, more than likely I'm going to do volunteering, but it is a paid position. And being a nonprofit in the community, we're a member organization, so we support those that are members with the volunteer center to do the great work that they're doing in the community.
You guys are paid, very key. Because that is an interesting thing that I think people get stuck on, volunteer, and sometimes volunteerism doesn't just happen either. And, mm-hmm. I imagine that's going to play a part in how you're rebranding too. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can shed some light on this, Christine. But in terms of how you're going to rebrand and the how you're going to change the face of the Volunteer Center, and it's 15 years. I'm thinking it's been around. Has there been a facelift since then?
2001 we right. incorporated, and okay. that's when we had the name Volunteer Center of Guelph Wellington. It has been unchanged since then.
Mm-hmm. So definitely time for a facelift.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think the rebranding process has been very interesting for Kim and myself. And very involved, and I think there's one thing that I've come to understand or learn about it is about diving deep in terms of your identity as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how people perceive and know and understand you and your purpose, but it's also about what you aspire to be.
Right.
And so rebranding, I think probably in our case, in many cases, is about both tying into how you are understood or perceived in the community, but also elevating yourselves and trying to realize that your potential as an organization, so what you aspire to be mm-hmm. as well.
Speaking of aspire, and say there's a person who's looking to volunteer, they don't know perhaps what, but they know they have some free time on their hands they want to give back. How do you sort of shepherd that person? Even if they come in and they know they want to volunteer, they have no idea what they want to do, mm-hmm. or perhaps even they have just I want to help out with the arts or something.
And actually, those are exactly the kind of inquiries that I think we get all the time, and we're really well positioned to answer. There will be people that know that they want to volunteer for a particular organization, so they're likely to go and find that opportunity on their own. But mm-hmm. for us, people are often surprised at the variety and scope of opportunities out there. So mm-hmm. they often will visit our website, and we have an online database of volunteer opportunities. We have about 200 different opportunities at any one time. But we want to be accessible to everyone. So we also have office hours, and we have staff and volunteers that are trained to sit down and coach someone through the process of identifying a potential volunteer opportunity. And we really do believe that it is a win-win situation if you have a good match between the volunteer, the position, and the organization. So we encourage people to think about, what do you enjoy doing? You know, what would you like to get out of this experience? Is it about building your resume? Is it about trying a different career path? Is it about getting Canadian experience if you're a new Canadian? Mm. Is it because you have time and you want to connect with people of similar interests and passions?
Mm-hmm.
We really encourage people to think about those things to find the best opportunity for them. So they can visit our website. They can come into our office. We try to meet people where they're at, to help them. We believe everyone is able to has something to contribute, something to give, and should have the opportunity to do that.
Is there an area that's, you know, perhaps underserviced by volunteers? Is there, you know, I don't know, lawn maintenance for seniors? I don't know, I'm just spitballing here. But, you know, I know that nonprofits do generally all have their struggles, and one of the continuous struggles is the man and woman power aspect. But is there an area that needs more help than others, or...?
There is. There's probably a few areas. Mm-hmm. The one that comes to mind for me is volunteer drivers.
Mm.
Many organizations rely on volunteers to drive their clients to and from medical appointments or various locations. And their ability to deliver that service is dependent on volunteers, and it is difficult to find volunteer drivers. Kim, you might also be aware of there are some opportunities that are just more difficult to fill.
Yes, and I was going to say, too, to the driving part, it becomes even more of a challenge when you're talking about Wellington County.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have folks that are trying to access services or receive programs and services from our member organizations, and they can't get from here to there because of that volunteer driving piece. I think where as well, where I see that, you know, people are wanting to have volunteers come in for that Tuesday morning from 9 to 12 every week, and I'm going to do that for a number of years.
Right.
And back to your question about trends in volunteering, that's not happening.
Right.
There is a trend of people want more flexibility in what they're doing. Maybe it's more episodic. Maybe I can come and help you for 3 months, but maybe I could do it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday 1 week, and next week maybe it's just on Friday. So are organizations able to welcome that degree of flexibility? But that seems to be a struggle. We need somebody to come in and sort of be that ambassador in that particular office space or program space. Mm-hmm. Is another area that I have heard of.
Yeah, and an example of that I think would be like the Big Brother, Big Sisters organization,
right,
that rely on volunteers who are going to make a significant commitment of time and energy. In particular, Big Brothers, I know it's been difficult, and sometimes kids are on waiting lists for years waiting to get a Big Brother. We actually had a campaign a few years ago where we were trying to recruit younger men. We just found when we looked at some of our website stats that was a group we were not accessing a whole lot. And there are things like Big Brother volunteer opportunities where they're looking for younger men. So we had this, we called it the Voluncurious campaign. Because what we sort of identified is that those younger men are maybe curious but haven't taken the step yet. So how could we convince them to try this?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the positive, because Guelph is generally thought of, and the statistics bear this out, I think that Guelph is very volunteer-friendly, that there's a lot of people in Guelph who do spend a significant amount of their time volunteering. I wonder, in your research, if you have found a reason why that is, what is it in the water here that makes people a bit more generous with their time than other places in Canada?
That's a very good question.
I would have to say I have worked in the city of Guelph now for about 6 or 7 years. And from starting, my initial role in Guelph, it's been nothing but absolutely warm-hearted. Not to say that other cities...
Everywhere else is terrible.
I know. So don't... You can delete that. You can cut that part out. I think it is this collaboration... And Christine can tell me, help us direct in a different way. But from what I have seen, there's a collaboration between not only the not-for-profits, but the business community and the arts community and the municipal, all coming together for the betterment of the citizens. Everyone, like our, values and what we aspire to be is that everyone has the opportunity to engage in a meaningful experience and a wonderful community where you can live, work, and play.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I guess an example of this is, and Kim might know more detail about this than myself, but the Three Things for Canada campaign was an initiative started in Calgary by the mayor there, who challenged then other mayors and cities to participate. And the idea being to commit to doing three things for your community, your country, to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the country. So Calgary started this initiative, but Guelph, I think, we're the only city of our size to sort of take on that challenge. And I think that just sort of exemplifies that sort of feeling of collaboration and desire to give that you find here in Guelph.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good segue, because I know that some of the National Volunteer Week activities you're planning sort of tie into Canada's 150. So let's just start with this basis, this idea of what the goal is with National Volunteer Week. And, there is a portion of it I know that is about thanking volunteers. But in terms of, again, the goal, what is it? What is the end game when you're organizing these activities for National Volunteer Week?
Well, it's multifaceted, right? It's like you say, not only to thank 12.7 million volunteers in the country.
In Guelph alone.
In Guelph alone. But it's also to bring awareness, I think, of the great things that are happening in communities. And part of that as well would be welcoming folks to try something. Or maybe even, the notion of recognizing that they have been volunteering, but it's not in more of a formal fashion. They're mm-hmm. not a registered volunteer at this particular organization, but this is the great things that they've been doing in their community just because they knew that it was right and it felt right.
Mm-hmm. And I think also statistically, one of the most significant reasons people don't continue to volunteer is because they haven't felt recognized in the past. So I think, as we all know, volunteers are doing this work not for a paycheck. They do it for other reasons. But I think the onus is on us to appreciate that contribution, that time, that energy that they put in not receiving a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Makes it harder for them to go knowing how beloved they are amongst the group that they're volunteering with. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this specific National Volunteer Week. I know that there's of course a breakfast, which I believe is a component every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's also going to be something about a mural, I hear.
Yes.
I know that you put the mm-hmm. the word out for don't know, proposals, invitations for people
yes.
to take part. The word escapes me, but I do know that Meredith Blackmore was mm-hmm. the person who was mm-hmm. chosen. So can you talk a bit about why her ideas sort of won out?
So reviewing the call to artists, reviewing those submissions, wonderful submissions that had come through, great ideas, beautiful project, talented folks that came and submitted. But what was a clear immersion of that was Meredith Blackmore. And so we connected with her to welcome her as the selected artist for the mural project. So we've met with Meredith a couple of times. We have some fantastic host sites that will welcome volunteers to come and engage in art with Meredith during that week. And as Christine said, we've left it open that, you know, the project will happen organically, and Meredith is very accustomed to that and very open to that experience about what happens when those volunteers will come and help create this project that will honor not only volunteerism, but also Canada's 150th. So it's quite exciting. We're thrilled to be able to collaborate with her, and much appreciation to the Guelph Arts Council for their expertise and to our funding partners.
Was that her idea, Meredith, to make it a volunteer sort of collaboration, or is that part of the ask?
We had this vision that there perhaps would be an event that might involve some volunteers. What it's turned into is a week-long various events at various locations involving a much broader spectrum of people than we anticipated. Mm-hmm. So it has evolved and sort of blown up in scope, I think, thanks to Meredith. But I think the outcome will show that diversity and scope, which is good, which is something we want.
Okay. What other events do we have going on? I know there's going to be a talk. Author Will Ferguson is going to be talking about how volunteering impacts Canadian identity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with this area of intersection, but I'm sure he will convince us.
For sure. He wrote a book, How to Be Canadian.
That's
so
right, yeah.
When we were selecting speakers or potential speakers, we thought that, and he's light and funny and has also, I think, from having traveled in Canada, but also outside of Canada, has that kind of unique perspective on what it means to be Canadian. And he's also done a significant amount of volunteer work. So it seemed like a very natural fit to have someone like him be able to speak and articulate, similar to your question around why is it in Guelph, what's in the water, why do we volunteer?
Right.
He'll talk about why at Canadians volunteer, what is it about us in terms of our national identity?
Mm-hmm. Perhaps in terms of your own institutional sort of goals with the week, what do you hope that you have by Friday that you won't have on Monday? Other than a great time, that everyone has a great time at all these events.
Right now, my first thought is to still be standing after that week.
Always good.
There's so much going on, so it's a lot of work, a lot of energy spent that week. But I think for us, would probably be as Kim mentioned. People who do volunteer will probably hear those messages, and we hope that they will hear those messages thanking them for their contributions. But I think it would be an even more excellent week if it also caused some people who don't currently volunteer to think, maybe I should try that. Maybe there's something about that experience that I really want to have. I think that would really be a success.
Mm-hmm. Here's kind of a philosophical question, maybe to finish us off. Can there ever be enough volunteers?
And that's a great question. And for me, that actually isn't necessarily about the word volunteering, but as we as a people, about a giving nature.
Right.
Not just that we feel as though we're in this box of what people believe is a volunteer or what a volunteer should look like, but wouldn't it be great if as a community, that was just part of our identity? That was just something that was so natural and organic to each and every one of us that we didn't even really have a role that was called volunteer. How philosophical is that answer?
No, it's very philosophical. Yeah. I mean, it does make you think, though. You know, it's not about the work. It's about the spirit of the
human,
individual,
of humankindness,
of humankind, yeah. That, you know, see a need. And it's not, you know, I know there are some things where you're trying to get people to come out, you're trying to get people to donate time, and it's like they're kicking and screaming. But the idea to get to a point where all you have to do is ask once, and people rise to the occasion.
I know we've often talked about that idea that when you're meeting somebody, you will often ask, well, where do you work or what do you do? And usually when we say what you do, we're thinking, what do you do in the terms of paid employment?
Right.
But how great if that wasn't the question that we thought to ask in terms of trying to figure out someone's identity. But, you know, what do you do as a volunteer? I mean, what does that say about you, that it would be just such a regular part of your life that people would associate identities with that work?
Absolutely. I think we'll wrap this up with a plug. If people like the sounds of volunteering, and or if people want to get involved with the Volunteer Center, how can people get in touch with you guys?
For sure. You can visit our website,
www.volunteergw.ca, or call us at 519-822-0912.
That's why you bring the comms with you.
Or, of course, on social media.
Yeah, social media. Where's the Volunteer Center social media?
Yes, we are on Twitter. We are on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram.
Amazing. It's only fitting with our technical flubs that we ended with kind of a flub. So, but
we should drum roll that flub.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. That was the final flub. But we'll wrap it here before any more flubs occur. But Kim and Christine, thank you so much for joining me today, and good luck with National Volunteer Week.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
And once again, that was Executive Director Christine Oldfield and Communications and Program Coordinator Kim Cusimano of the Volunteer Center of Guelph Wellington. National Volunteer Week is April 23rd to 29th, and it will be capped off with the Time to Give Breakfast, which takes place on Friday, April 28th at 7:30 a.m. at the Delta Guelph Hotel and Conference Center. You can also get in touch with the center anytime by going to its website at volunteergw.ca and on Facebook and Twitter at volunteergw. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to the Guelph Politico Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.